God has spoken to me this morning already. The first few choruses all talking about the fact that we are changed. Wow, we are. For what? What are we changed for? The fact that he is calling us to step out beyond the shallows. Wow. Where feet may fail, you know, we stay so safe. Don't we stay safe in our faith? We stay with the safe people we know. We stay in the safe parameters of what we consider to be worship. Everything is so safe. Yeah? Lord, call me out. Now, you guys all sang, "Oh, call me out upon the waters." And you've suckered yourself because God heard you. Okay? Did Peter fail? No. He didn't fail because he is the only guy who got out of that boat and stood on the waters. Yeah, he went under when he got... But God, does God know you're going to get overwhelmed? Does God know you're going to fail in yourself? Yeah. But he's the only one in the disciples who could say, I know what it is to walk on water. Will you know by the time you die, because by the way, failing the Lord returning, we're all going to do that, okay? That you have walked on the waters that God has called you onto. Or are you going to keep it safe in the shallows? Well, God challenged me today when I look at, I promise you, halfway through that praise this morning, I was ready to give up my job and see where on earth God wanted me to go, okay? And then God brings us to that last one and saying, you know, be still, my child. You know, calm down. You know, Vivian's quite pleased about that, I think. Genuinely, I was, you know, Lord, I will give up this job tomorrow. I will step out. What do you want me to do? And I believe God is going to call me to do that, but not necessarily today, okay? But what is God going to call you to do? Well, that's the sermon I got this morning in the time of worship. Okay? So God never leaves you and doesn't pay you back. Okay? So now we'll see what God's got for you and what I've got for you. Now, to start looking at what I've got for you today, yesterday I watched two movies. Okay, now I've been thinking about what I'm going to speak to you about. I'll warn you, I've been going through Revelation. Okay, it's been a while since I've read Revelation. I was talking to somebody about it, and then I thought, you know, it's been quite a while. And then I dug back into it, and it was like, whoa, I forgot how crazy this book is. Okay, amazing, but definitely on the wild side of things. So, I've been, when I've been having a shower, I've been listening to Revelation. When I've been, listening to Revelation, you hear the kind of things coming through. Now, 30-odd years on, I understand a bit more of the metaphors and a bit more of the understanding of it. But some of the fundamentals we're going to have a quick look at, okay? So, you may want to come and have a conversation with me afterwards, but I'll try and keep it real simple, okay? Now, one of the movies I watched yesterday is a new movie that's just on Netflix, and it's called Don't Look Up. Okay, anyone seen it yet? No? Okay. It's very much not a Christian movie, okay? So I do recommend you watch it, but remember, it's not advocating morals that we would particularly agree with. Okay? Now, I'm also not able to tell you the film too much because I don't want to spoil it for you. But the premise is out there. Scientists are looking up at the sky, this PhD student happily watching the sky as they do all the time, thousands of people across the world, they're up there looking at the sky, and she sees something and realizes, oh, it's a comet. Oh, great, it's a comet. It's going to get named after her. And then they realize it's heading here. Okay? Now, the moment I started to watch, you realized this is a black comedy. Okay? This is looking at the world's apathy towards its own situation. And it's a great comment. And you know, when we're talking about this year that we've gone through, okay, I would say look back over the 10 years we've been through as a Christian, and you will see how society is getting pulled further and further away from any principle of the gospel. Any. Okay? We're breaking down gender. Okay? Clearly a biblical principle. We're breaking down concepts of the what's right and wrong. Right? We're breaking down what's, advocating the 11th commandment, thou shalt not get caught. All of these things we are seeing more and more progressing. And then we get to the pandemic, and all of a sudden we see a huge amount of social control, a huge amount of information, disinformation. You know, you now don't know what's right and wrong. We are heading towards a very interesting time, okay? Very interesting time to have faith and to stand apart. So, let's read from 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, I'll give you a few minutes to find it. 2 Peter chapter 3. My Bible's gone to chapter 2 for some reason. Da-da. Technology's great when it does you a favor. Okay. And it's my title on mine is The Day of the Lord Will Come. Okay? Note that. The Day of the Lord will come. How do we know that the Day of the Lord will come? Because he said it would come. Okay? Not only is a lot of the prophecies that talked about Jesus arriving, also talk about the end of times too. So in the same chapters in Isaiah, you get him talking about the coming of a Messiah, and also the end of times and the rounding up of everything. Okay, so how do we know Jesus is coming back? Because it all fits together, and Jesus said quite a few times that I'm coming back. Okay, so Jesus, it's not when, we don't know that. Okay, it's certainly not if. Okay, because he is coming back. These things that were prophesied are going to happen. Okay? So, on that note, we have a look at 2 Peter 3, and we're going to start from verse, let's start from, oh, let's see, where will we go? Okay, we're going to look at, okay, and we'll look at verse 4. Okay? They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Forever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were before the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water and by the word of God. That's back to what Tom was preaching the other day. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth now exist, are stored up for fire. That's encouraging, isn't it? Yeah, okay. The world as was destroyed by water. But here's the encouragement. The next one's fire. Okay. Being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Okay? If you want an explanation of that, I'm happy to do that after this. It just takes too long sometimes, okay? Fact is, God is at all points of time at the same time. 1,000 years is nothing to him. A day is nothing to him, okay? We look at it and think, it's been ages since Jesus said he was coming back. 2,000 years, my goodness. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us. So why is God waiting? Why has Jesus not come back before things got really bad? Because it's going to get a long way from where we are now. But is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So why is God holding back? Why is God not destroying the earth? Why have we not been obliterated with fire? Because God is being patient. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see people come into the kingdom. He wants you to do your job of sharing your faith and being a light in this world. Okay, he's being patient, very patient. But the day of the Lord will come. Okay? Like a thief. How's a thief come? Does he knock on your door? Does he phone you up and say, by the way, next week, Thursday, about 4, I'll be over to burglar. Okay? You've got more chance of getting a Hermes delivery. Okay? We do not know. The whole point of what Jesus is saying is, at the point you don't expect it, that's when Jesus will return. Can I ask you, anyone expecting Jesus to return in the next 5 minutes? No. That's the least expected time to come. Okay? So, you know, you should be a bit nervous. I'm serious. You've got to understand that we do not know when the end of times comes. See, when the disciples were on their the Last Supper, they were having a Last Supper. Do you think they'd called it that beforehand? No, it was just another Passover meal. They had no idea that the next day was going to be the most pivotal day in history. And their lives were going to go very differently. They had no idea. Just like the people will have no idea. The Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the day of the coming of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt and they will burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found in him without spot and blemish and at peace with him. Right. What kind of people should we be when we know that all this stuff is all going to be gone? Yeah. Why do you lay up for yourself treasures on earth when you know that it will all pass away? What absolutely matters? Well, there's a little thing in there that says that you might hasten the day of his return. That's a bizarre concept, isn't it? How on earth can little old me, getting old now, right? How on earth can I hasten the return of Jesus Christ? It's dead simple. Do your job. Do your job. Now, at the moment, I genuinely consider it an utter privilege to be working with Mama Africa Ministries in Africa, supporting Joan, who is a titan in the world of God. She's amazing. She is the simplest, straightforward woman you'll ever meet. She has her flaws, she has her failings, she doesn't hide from them. But goodness me, can she hear what God's telling her? Has she done her apprenticeship? Yes. She came to Christ and became a missionary at 15 years old when she was thrown out of her school for believing and preaching in the name of Jesus. Okay? She's now, I think, 77. Although she was 76 for quite a few years. She's probably at 79 now, right? And only recently did God give her the vision to bring Africa to repentance through a series of prayer meetings and fasting and events that would boggle your mind how much actual organizing that's going to take. Do I consider myself in any way in her ballpark? No, not even slightly. But God has given me a few things that I can do that really help her. Okay? And my goodness, I will do that. You know, if God tells me I want you to do that, I will do that. But as I said to you this morning, I'm listening to that and realizing I'm playing at this. I am still staying in shallow waters. I'm still not living my life like this could be the last day of my life. Now, what we've got to get into balance here is, if you're in a marathon, you run a certain way, yeah? If you're in 100 meters, you run a certain way. Have you ever seen one of these kind of medium distance running in the Olympics? And you get a guy and he flees off, right? Whoa, he's going. No one can get near him. And you're thinking, whoa, he's going to win. No, he's not going to win the race. He's not going to win the race because he's going to tire, okay? Because he's got the wrong race in his head, okay? Or he's just trying to get people, he's helping another runner, okay? The key here is I'm asking you, what race has God called you to? Okay? It ain't the same as mine. Yeah? He hasn't called you to get up here and speak necessarily. Maybe he has. We haven't yet found that out. Okay? He maybe has called you to be an encourager or a nurturer, or he's called you to do some kind of practical ministry that shares the faith of Jesus to other people. Whatever it is, run that race. That race. Yeah? If you might think, oh, it's nothing that I do. Okay? Paul. You didn't think I was going to point him out, but Paul, I know, goes in and visits Helen. Okay? Now, Helen hasn't really been about for very much. Her health isn't very great. She is almost totally deaf now. And, you know, we could think, well, Paul will go in and just do little bits for her, okay? She was an absolute soldier in the kingdom, okay? She was a phenomenal woman with some phenomenal stories. Now, you can't get away from her, right? Because she's quite lonely, and she just wants you to tell you all the stories that she's got from many years ago. Now, when Paul is going in, just doing that thing where you go in and check she's okay and whatever. Is that part of his run? Is that part of his race? Absolutely. Because God looks after his own. So he's doing the ministry that God has called him to honor a woman who honored God. Yeah? When we're, as you know, Dennis is going through a difficult time at the moment. He's at times a bit confused. Now, he's a man who I have a lot of respect for, and he was great to me. He's been a phenomenal father-in-law, and his encouragement and his gentle wisdom really informed me in, you know, early parts of my faith and stuff like that. So now going in to support him, I don't see that as a chore. It's difficult to fit in the time, but I never see it as a chore when I'm going in to do something for him because it's honoring the man that God has blessed me through. There are lots of little ways that we can do our race. But what we're tending to do is run our race to watch the... We're not running the race. Often we're walking along the race to see the scenery. We've missed the point. When you come to Christ, you die. When you come to Christ, you die. What do you die to? You die to you. Yeah? We sung this morning. Yeah? Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have and ever hope to be. Anybody sing that? Go on. Anybody not sing that? No one's wanting to commit either way here. All I have. Well, what have you got? We've all got different stuff. We've all got different personal attributes. We've all got different stuff that we can use. We've all got different pockets of money. We've all got different stuff, okay? All that. All I have. All I am. My goodness, that one even covers everything I ever hoped to be. Yeah? This earth will pass away. Now, Tom was talking about watching Universe with Brian Cox just recently. And so I thought, that looks interesting. I'll watch a bit. I quite like Brian Cox. I think he's actually honest about his position. He's an atheist, but he's honest about it. And I've seen different interviews where he said, I can't definitively say there isn't a God. I just don't believe there is. Okay? No, that's honest. I then watch Universe, and I never have seen a more quasi-religious production in any time. I've not seen a Christian one that was as evangelical as Brian Cox's position on, I mean, he waxed lyrical on how we should be so grateful to the sun for its magnanimous gesture towards us to create life. He starts with theories that are utterly out there. Discounts, by the way, he discounts the Big Bang. But that's good because the guy who invented the Big Bang, Stephen Hawking, also discounted it. But most science would still bang on about it, if you know what I mean. I didn't even mean to say that. That was an intentional pun. Right. So what I'm saying is, even Brian Cox was utterly honest that this will all end when the universe is completed. He says it'll die. Just slowly go out like a fire that burnt brightly. We know the scripture says that God created the heavens and the universe in his mind, in his intention, and as easily as he created it, he will fold it up like a blanket and he will create a new one. A perfect one in which the rules will be slightly different. Okay? So we come from a completely different perspective, but we all agree, both atheists, Christians, and every single religion in the world, says it'll end. Knowing that it will end, why are we acting like it'll go on forever? At the moment you least expect it, your life will change. I got Delta, okay? Nasty little virus, part of the, how could we say, the COVID family of 19, okay? It's like Heinz 57, isn't it? Right? Now, it has changed me. I now can't smell bad things. And you think, well, that's good. No, it isn't. Okay? Smelling bad things is useful. Okay? I now kind of have this weird smell that I can smell that I can't describe what that smell is. It doesn't smell like anything. You know, like when you get a bad smell, oh, it's like cauliflower, you know, that boiled cauliflower kind of smell. Or when you talk about a smell and it being like rotten eggs and like just this weird, kind of weird thing I can smell. So I didn't expect that one day I would be able to smell everything I did and the next day I can't. And that's a tiny thing. This tells me that one day it's all going to change. This comfortable little life you're making is going to end. But you know what? It can end today. The comfortable little life can end today because you're not meant to have a comfortable little life. You're not meant to be wallowing around in the shallows. You're meant to be stepping into the waters where only God can survive, can hold you up. Now, I can't challenge you. I can't make you consider anything about how much you're going to give to God. I can't do it. It can only be the Holy Spirit that does this. Because he's the one who's got all the information you need to be who you need to be to run your race. Jesus, in chapter 24 of Matthew, says, when the end comes, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. People, see, on the day the rain started, they were marrying and having babies and they were doing stuff. And actually, if you do watch that movie, don't look up, okay? It keeps on flashing to pictures of hippos frolicking in the water, amoebas doing whatever they do. Honestly, it's actually quite a funny film. I laughed quite a few times, okay? And some very dark things. I laughed a few times. Everything will seem like it's absolutely normal till it's not. Do not be caught napping. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The world is trying to push us into sleep. God this morning is giving you an opportunity to wake up and smell the roses. I maybe can still smell roses. Okay? So, I'm saying to you, what kind of people should we be? That's what it's asked you. What kind of people should we be? Are we all for Jesus? Or are we a bit for Jesus? That really what we should sing, isn't it? Jesus, a bit for Jesus. Some of what I have, and no, you can't have what I hope to be because it isn't what you want, right? That would be far too complicated to sing that, wouldn't it? The fact is, he doesn't expect you to become some kind of religious nutter, okay? And that's why I'm saying I thought that last psalm of just be still, let the Spirit do it with you. And I'm just asking you to go away and say before God, God, what do you call in my life? What do you want in my life to be? How can I bring your kingdom quicker? How can I do what I've been praying for years? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's about you having kingdom in your life and doing your run, going at your pace. I'm just encouraging you to think that maybe your pace has been a little bit pedestrian. And God would call you to say, what can I do to bring your kingdom here? Who can I love? Who can I share? What can I do? And that brings me finally to the other movie that I watched yesterday. It was because my daughter, it's her favorite film. It's called The Holiday. Okay. Absolutely cheesy nonsense of a rom-com kind of idea. Okay. But the central thing I took out of that is, what does love do? It gets you willing to do whatever you can for that love. Okay? It's just a thing about somebody, two couples who end up going a long way to meet the very person they're willing to change their life for. How far are you willing to go for the love that Jesus gave you and for the love that he has for you? What are you willing to change in your life? Their thing was, well, we live in different parts of the world. Well, that didn't matter to those who, you know, really know they love. But you need to get that point of actually thinking it through. Ask him for the next thing to do. Not you know, some great thing, but just the next thing to do. This week, Lord, how can I serve you? We've come through a bonkers 2 years, okay? I know we're talking about 2021. 2020 was pretty rubbish, I know, okay? We are moving into 2022. Omicron, I believe, is the end of the pandemic, okay? That's my personal position. I know I could be fact-checked on that, but, you know, it is. In South Africa, they've had it for a year, not a death, not a single death attributed. The media now are trying to find every possible link to a possible death, okay? But they're still not finding somebody who died from it, okay? So Omicron is actually, in that token, safer than the vaccine because people have died from the vaccine, and that is a fact. So I'm saying to you, we're going into 2022. We may see the end of this craziness. Coming out of South Africa, I think that's great, okay? And we can see this year as being an opening up of possibilities. But even if we're still getting pushed and pushed by all kinds of control, nothing can stop you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life because he knows this is all about. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that the virus would get out of the thing in Wuhan. He knew what was going to happen. And God put in his provisions. He has put in his provisions for your life this year. Live knowing that you have been bought for a purpose and you've been bought with a price. And it is all for Jesus. Okay? So just understand God's love for you is so great that he wasn't willing that you had a non-entity of a life. How many people go through a life and they never live? Yeah? Many people. We all die, but not everyone lives. God has called you to have a life and more. A life and a life more abundant. Okay? So let's look for that. Because only when we step upon the waters does Jesus reach out and take hold of us. He's always there. He's always ready. What kind of people?